John. Well, dear Lord, right now, we just lift up Pastor John, Heavenly Father. We just pray that the words that are spoken are your words, dear Lord, that it not just touch our ears, but it touch our hearts and our souls, dear Lord, that we just take it to heart, that whatever you have for us, dear Lord, we just run with it and be obedient to your word, Heavenly Father. We ask that you use and Pastor John and double blessing upon him, dear Lord. Anoint him this morning, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we ask, and everyone says,
amen. Hallelujah. Well, I'm sure, hopefully by now, everybody knows that this past year, our theme has been taken from John 11:40, where Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So we've been talking about that a lot. It's been in a lot of different messages and referring to that. And we've talked about the importance of how we have to believe. We have to trust God. We have to believe that he can do something, that he can make things happen. And then we look for it, and we see that God's glory is then revealed. We realize, like, wow, God did do this. God came through for me. So I've been praying and asking God to show me which direction he wanted me to go for this year. And every time I prayed, I got the same answer. I must have prayed at least 10 or 12 times, you know, for the direction of this year's theme. And as I said, this past year, we talked about believing and seeing, and now we're taking it to, like, the next step, and that is where after we've seen it, now we take what we've seen and we proclaim it to the world. We proclaim God's glory. We declare God's glory. And in Psalm 96:3, it says, "Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples." In Psalm 29, verse 2, it says, "Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness." So it makes it clear there, and there's a lot of scriptures, those are just two that I picked out, that we have a job to do as Christians, and that is to reveal the glory of God. I mean, you could look at it in terms of being witnesses, ambassadors, go forth out into all the world and making disciples, all the different ways that it's said. It has to do with revealing the glory of God, letting people see that God is an awesome, glorious God. So the first thing that I wanted to do was really determine and let us see what glory means. So I looked through the Old Testament, the New Testament, I got into the Greek and the Hebrew, did the whole thing, and because I wanted to get some actual definitions of what we're talking about when we say reveal his glory. So when we reveal his glory, what are we revealing? Well, here it is. It talks about the glory is the expression of his excellence, the wonders of what God can do, his power and his goodness displayed, his divine greatness, his splendor and his beauty, his brightness, his magnificence, his excellence, his preeminence, his dignity, his grace, his majesty, his praise and honor. And all those are surrounded by a never-ending, all-surpassing, amazing love. I think that gives us plenty to talk about. When you think of all those things that describe God, describe who he is, what he's about, what he's like, his glory, what that really means. We serve a glorious God. We sang that song today, Glorious One. He is the glorious one. There's nobody else that has anywhere near all those characteristics. We'd be lucky to have one of them. We'd be lucky to have partial one of them. And so, it's time for us to learn, to get that into our heart, that God wants us to proclaim his glory. Remember the story of the Samaritan woman at the well? I'm sure most of you do. Jesus was on his way to Galilee, and he decided to, you know, he cut through Samaria. And while he was on the road, he decided to stop by this well. Just a coincidence about what happened there, I'm sure we'll all see. And he wanted to rest for a little while, and so he sat down by this well, Jacob's well, in fact. And that's where we enter the story. And it says, when a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. And the Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. They were considered sort of like odd man out, like sort of a half-breed. And Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as did also his son? And the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet." Quite a bit more than a prophet. "Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." At that time it had been. Everybody was supposed to go to Jerusalem to worship. "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem." That age was coming to an end. "You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. And yet a time is coming and has now come when true worshipers will worship the Father and in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks." Just a little sidebar here. You know, there are people out there these days that are still believing that we have to set up a temple in Jerusalem and go back and worship in Jerusalem. And do what? Jesus just told us it's done. And are we supposed to go back to animal sacrifice in the temple? Is that why? When it says in the Bible clearly that Jesus died once and for all. It's done. The old sacrifice is done. The old temple is done. The temple where God lives in brick and mortar and stone is done. Now he lives in this temple. It's the new covenant, right? "The time is coming and has now come when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Another sidebar. Oh, Jesus never claimed to be God. "I know the Messiah is coming." Then Jesus declared, "I, the one speaking to you, I am he. I'm the Messiah. I'm the Savior. I'm the one that's been written about." Just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, "What do you want? Or why are you talking with her?" Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to town and said to the people, now this is the part I was getting to here, "Come see a man who told me everything I did. Could he be the Messiah?" They came out of the town and they made their way back toward him. And then a little bit, just a couple of verses down, it says, and many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves. And we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. This is a perfect example of somebody who saw Jesus, she believed in his words, and then she went on to proclaim what she saw. All she had to do was start the process. That was her part. That was her job. Start the process. Go out and tell the people what you know, what you saw, what you understand. Remember, when the shepherds, we just talked about that. Everybody's talked about that for the last week or two. Remember the shepherds, they were out in their fields and they were watching their flocks, and an angel came to speak to them. And if you remember what that angel said, he said, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. Here it is again, a Savior, Jesus. He is the Messiah, the Lord, and this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel praising God, saying, glory to God. Now see, he's bringing the glory to God already. He's showing them this is what's coming. God is coming to earth. This Jesus, the Savior, is coming to earth. He's going to be here to save all God's people. And there is glory in this. He is a glorious Savior. This is a glorious God. This is a glorious Messiah. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, what the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, here it is, they spread the word. You see, they saw, they heard from the angels, they saw the baby, and they believed. And then they spread. They proclaimed. They declared what was going on. They spread the word concerning what had been told them about the child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying God and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen and which they had just been told. So there's another perfect example. All they had to do was go out and proclaim what they knew to be true. They heard what the angel said. They believed it enough to go check it out. They got there and they saw it was true. And they went out and they proclaimed the message then. So, what's our story? What have we seen? What has God revealed to us? How have we seen God's glory in our life? Is there anyone in here who has not seen God operate or work in some way? Is there anyone in here who has never understood the great and wonderful things that God has done? We've all got a story to tell. We know what a wonderful person our Lord and Savior Jesus is, who actually was God and came down in the flesh so he could experience life as we do. So he could experience what it means to be a human, and on top of that, he could also be, in his perfection, the perfect sacrifice. We saw the wonderful love that he showed when, in his obedience, Obedience to his Father. We saw it in his suffering. We saw it in his death on the cross for our salvation. We know about the amazing miracles and the wonderful works that he's done. We also know about his resurrection from the dead, about his ascending up into heaven, and about how he's seated at the right hand of the Father, and he's always interceding for us. The shedding of his blood to forgive our sins. And also the pouring out of his Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit that he has sent to us to empower us to live our life for him. All these things we've been given, and hopefully we know them, we understand them, we know them to be true. So there's more to proclaim, more to declare, more to share. Is this good news or what? Isn't it all good news? Isn't this something, what we know, what's happened, that we know from the Word, what's happened that we've seen in our own life, what we've seen in our family and our friends, isn't that good news that is worth proclaiming to the nations, to the world, to the unsaved? This is why we were chosen. This is why we were chosen. This is why we were called. This is why we were created, to declare the praises of our Lord. 1 Peter 2:9. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. He's gotten hold of us. He's chosen us. He's brought us into his, he's lifted us up. He's made us into a holy nation, a holy priesthood. Why? There's a reason. He loves us, obviously. That's number one. But then it's because we have a job to do, to declare the praises of him. Isaiah 43, 20 and 21. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself. Why? That they may proclaim my praise. How about this one? Isaiah 43 also, second part of verse 6 and 7. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. We were created for the glory of God. You want to know your purpose in life? Your purpose in life is to bring glory to God. Pure and simple. He's the creator. He made it all. He decides the terms. And everybody goes around, tries to find this thing, find that thing, chase after this, chase that. Oh, it's this reason, it's that reason. You know, they come up with all kinds of philosophies and phony philosophies, many of them that lead to nowhere, some that lead to death. Whereas this one leads to life, eternal life, in Jesus Christ our Lord. This one leads to eternal life with our God, our Savior, the Creator, the one who made this world, who set everything in motion, the one who started it all and holds everything together by the power of his word. He's the one who determined why we are here. Not me. I'm just quoting his words. So if you want to know why we're here, that's why we're here. We are here to bring glory to our Lord, to declare his praises. God's called us out of darkness to be his people. And there's an end purpose. And it's not just so we could be here in church and worship God and fellowship with one another. These are wonderful things. It's great to be able to come here, gather together. We need to do that. That's part of the instruction. That's part of what God is teaches us to do, so we can strengthen and encourage one another daily. But that's not the end all, be all. It's not so we can just come here and stand in front of a church. It's to take that good news then that we got, to take that good news and bring it to others. I was thinking about back when I was young, I had a paper route. Actually, I had three different paper routes for over a couple years. The Detroit Times, if you remember that, that's when the news on the Free Press went on strike for a long time, a few months. This was back when everybody got newspapers. When you delivered on a street, every two out of three houses got a newspaper. And I had a big route that I was working with another guy, and I had a shopping news route, I had a Mellis, I had all kinds of newspaper routes to earn money. Well, I was thinking about that. You know, when I went there over, I went over on Cleveland Street in Allen Park at this house, Fritz's house, I think it was, and we would go get our papers, you know, and we would sit there and we would fold up our papers and stick them in our bag. I'd have big saddle bags and then one on the front. And I was thinking about that. What if I went there and I got all those newspapers, got the news, and stood there and talked with the other people who got the news, but never went out and delivered my papers? Wouldn't that be stupid? I'd be failing my job. I'd get fired, wouldn't I? I would get fired. I would have lost that route just like that. Well, a Christian that gets all that good news and doesn't go out and share it is really messing up. That would be the same kind of thing. We got the news. Now it's our job to share it. We're not the elect just for our own sake. We've been called to be ambassadors. We've been called to be witnesses to the world, and our job is to spread that word, declaring the glories of God, just like the Samaritan woman did, just like the shepherds did. I know sometimes it can seem frightening to get out there and to, you know, to speak to people. Some of us aren't, you know, sometimes some people just aren't, like, bold. They don't feel bold. But see, there's a boldness that comes from God. We don't have to be bold. We just have to trust in the Holy Spirit within us to make us bold. We just have to be willing, because if we are willing, God is able. He's able to make it happen. And like I said, I know sometimes we might deal with a little bit of fear. Even the Apostle Paul dealt with fear. And he's somebody we think of as a tremendous evangelist, one of the great purveyors of the word. And he said in Ephesians chapter 6, 19 through 21, "Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me." See, he knows where they're coming from, the Holy Spirit. "Words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it," there it is, "that I may declare that message fearlessly as I should." See, he dealt with that fear. He dealt with it. He dealt with it. He overcame it. He went beyond it. He dealt the death blow to it. But it was there. Remember, fear is a liar. Fear is a liar. It tells you what you can't do. It tells you you're no good. It tells you you're not good enough. It tells you you got so many problems you don't deserve to share the gospel. But God didn't give us that spirit of fear. That's the devil, and the devil is trying to get us to stop giving God the glory. In fact, God gives us the ability to be more than conquerors. We know that from His Word. More than conquerors through Christ Jesus who loved us. We need to keep our eyes open and make the most of every opportunity that comes our way. We just have to see and believe and trust in what God has already done. Every one of us has a multitude of giftings. We've all got talents. We've all got abilities. We've all got places where we go, people we see, things that we do, jobs that we go to. You know, there's and in every one of these situations, opportunities will arise. Sometimes multiple opportunities in one day. Remember that show MacGyver? I was thinking about that last night. Every time he got himself into trouble, which was every show, he was always in some kind of trouble. He was usually stuck in some kind of place where nobody could get out of, or something was going to happen, some terrible danger was going to happen. And he would be stuck there, and then he would look around, and he would see what's available. And he would look at this, and he'd look at that, and before you know it, he's taken all these different things and putting them together, and he comes up with some way to almost perform a miracle, right? I mean, it wasn't a miracle. He just put things together and made something that worked. He came up with a way to save the day over and over every week, within an hour. Well, that's sort of how God works in us, in a way. Whatever happens, whatever goes on, there's always all these things going on in our life, and so many times we feel like we messed up, like we're in trouble, like we're in danger, like we can't do this, we can't do that, or how can I change this, how can I go there? And God's saying, look around and remember what I've shown you, what I've already taught you, the things you've learned, and then look at the situation and see, what is my opportunity in this situation, to bring glory to God? Think of it as a challenge. Remember when Peter and John were challenged by the Jewish leaders? They were ordered, do not speak anymore in the name of Jesus. Do not bring glory to his name anymore. That's what they were saying. Do not honor his name anymore. Did they accept the challenge? They were called in and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, and here's the line, I love this line, which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judge. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. They saw, and now they can't help speaking. They can't help proclaiming the glory of God. That's what they would, basically that's what they said. We're going to declare God's glory whether you want us to or not. We accept the challenge. So what happened? If you remember, they went back with the rest of the gang, they all prayed, the walls were shaken, and they went out and they spoke even more boldly. So they dealt with fear, they dealt with the challenge. They went out there. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 29, it says, ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. There's that glory again. Worship the Lord in all his glory. 1 Corinthians 10:31, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. See, everything we do is an opportunity. Going out to eat, whether you eat, when we eat, when you're in a restaurant, don't be afraid, don't be embarrassed to pray. And if somebody sees you, that's even better. If somebody hears you, that's even better. I'm not saying make a huge display and look like a, you know, crazy person where you go overboard, but don't hide it. When you're at someone's house and they're about ready to eat, say, oh, do you mind if we pray, if I pray? Well, most people are actually very gracious, whether they're Christian or not, and will say, oh, yeah, sure. They don't want to offend you, so they'll say, yeah, sure. And then you say this beautiful prayer, and I've had this happen, where then when you're done praying, they have a tear in their eye because they've known in the past. Now someone reminded them about the glory of God from a simple prayer, because whether we eat or drink or whatever we do, we do it for the glory of God. Remember the scripture I already read. You are a chosen people, 1 Peter 2:9. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. We were created for God's glory. Isaiah 43:7, everyone who is called by my name, who I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. I want to read one last scripture. It's a prayer by David. I don't see Eddie in here right now. He must be in with the... I know that's his favorite, David. And it's a prayer that King David prayed before the whole assembly, before all the people. There's Eddie. This one's for you, Eddie. King David. It's a King David prayer. He went to Ohio State. King David prayer. He used his position. See, we're all in some kind of position, right? And David just happened to be a king. So he used that position, that influence, that opportunity to bring glory to the Lord. So here's what he prayed in 1 Chronicles 29:10-12. It says, David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, praise be to you, Lord, the God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. This is the king saying this. Most kings claimed everything was theirs. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. Again, this is from the king, who's known as the ruler. He's showing who the real ruler is. In your hands are strength and power to exalt. Doesn't say it there, but also to tear down. And give strength to all. So in spite of his shortcomings, in spite of the terrible things David did, in spite of the times he blew it, in spite of his failures, he got up before all the people and proclaimed the glory of God. I think that his great failures gave him an opportunity to see God's great forgiveness and to experience even more the greatness and the glory of God. It just gave him one more reason to want to proclaim the glory of his God. What about us? We've been given a lot, haven't we? We've been also forgiven a lot. God has revealed so much to us through his word and through his Holy Spirit. We've been blessed in so many ways. We have a never-ending supply of reasons to declare the glory, the praises, to proclaim the awesomeness of our God, our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's close in prayer. If I could have the prayer team come forward. Hallelujah. Father, we want to thank you, Lord. We thank you so much that you are such an awesome God, that you're a great and glorious God. And Lord, we want to be a faithful people that declares your praises, that proclaims your glory, that gives honor, praise to you, to your name. Lord, help us to be that person, to always recognize those opportunities and to make the most of them, to be wise and make the most of those opportunities to give glory to you. Help us to act fearlessly even in the spite of our fears. Help us to be bold and strong, to be courageous even when we don't feel that way. Give us the words to speak when we don't know what to say. Empower us by your Holy Spirit when we don't feel we have the power. Remind us of all the wonders that you have done, the glory of our God, of our Savior, of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you for all things, Lord. I pray your blessing upon this church and this body and all who hear this message. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, Father. Amen.